I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and you should see the size of that spring.
Nice. Nice. Joining us is Mr. Don Slemp.
No, John. It's John Slemp.
Boy, you got the first name wrong, too.
Will you look at the schedule, doggone it? It's not my fault.
I'm looking at your handwritten note.
Which was taken from the schedule.
All right. Get on topic. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. And you are from the World War II Bomber Boys?
Correct.
Which is a book.
It's a book coming out in October, yes.
Okay, and I understand you have an audio clip for us. Would you set that up?
Yes. So this is an interview I did in 2015 in North Carolina of Larry Goldstein, who is a radio operator, I believe, in a B-17, and this describes his arrival in England.
We arrived at our air base. The base was called Nettleshold, that's K with a K, and it was the home of the 388th Bomb Group. We arrived there at night, and we were assigned to a barracks. We walked into the barracks. This was an enlisted men's barracks. There were six guys laying on their beds about 8:30 at night, and there were 24 empty beds. And we came in full of swagger. We're airmen, and somebody in our group said, "Where are the guys from the beds?" "Oh, they were all shot down the last few days." "What?" You could hear our egos crashing to the ground. And in my diary, I wrote, "We unpacked in total silence."
All right. That's quite a clip.
That is something. Talking about walking into it cold.
Talking about, this is real.
Yeah, 18 or 19, yeah. And I was stunned, to be honest with you. There were six guys that I photographed and interviewed that day, all World War II veterans, and I said, "Tell me a story," and that's the one he told me.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, this is beyond real here.
Yeah, exactly. That's the quote would be, "This bleep just got real."
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a harsh reality when somebody says something like that, because you're a replacement and you could be facing the same thing.
Right. Absolutely.
Wow.
And during that time, their life expectancy was quite short.
Yeah, I understand it was 50% of the airmen didn't come back?
In the early part of the war, the 8th Air Force had 70% casualties, either killed, wounded, or missing.
Wow.
And that's why it was 25 missions to begin with, because if they reached 25, they were really doing something. And then it went to 30 and 35 as we gained air superiority and that sort of thing. But it was more hazardous to be a member of the 8th Air Force. There were more guys killed in the 8th Air Force, 26,000, than there were Marines in the entire war.
Wow. Now, that's a statistic I had not heard.
Yeah. There were 21,000 Marine deaths and 26,000 plus in the 8th Air Force alone.
Wow. Well, that's saying something. And we have a friend whose father flew P-51s with the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back. So that's saying something.
Yeah. Yeah. So the book will be out in October. I've been working on it since 2014. We photographed over 160 jackets across the country in museums like the Air and Space Museum, Smithsonian, and 390th Memorial Museum in Tucson, San Diego Air and Space, etc. And not only will we have the book itself, it's going to be close to 400 pages, 12 by 12, large coffee table type book.
Wow.
But we'll also have a number of audio and video interviews, that sort of thing, that people can access once they buy the book.
The prevailing attitude of the guys you interviewed was that they weren't heroes, they were just there doing a job?
Absolutely. Yeah, I have not met any of them that were braggarts, I'll put it that way. And these were humble men, proud to go and do their part for the country. And
didn't quite know what they were getting into.
No, not at all. Once I started learning all this, initially I was just interested in the artwork on the jackets. And as I got into it, I'm like, oh, there's some real stories here. I'm a veteran myself, Army, it hit home pretty fast. And that's when I started doing the portraits and collecting the interviews and so on as much as I could. And
so I guess you think about all the patches and artwork you saw on the jackets and you start realizing it's quite a story behind it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, each jacket tells a story. Yeah, and when you start looking at the symbology and interpreting it, they're walking billboards, essentially.
Right.
And you know, I'm showing you a picture of Jimmy Stewart's jacket. I got finally into the U.S. Air Force Museum in January of this year and photographed 10 jackets there, including Jimmy Stewart's jacket. I was quite surprised when they told me it was only the second time since 1968 that it had been out of the display case.
Wow.
So
that's a bit of an honor.
Now,
it is, yeah.
The latest generation may not understand who Jimmy Stewart is. He was an actor.
Correct, yeah. Academy Award-winning actor. He actually won an Academy Award before he joined the service in 1941 as a volunteer and enlisted as a private. And by the end of the war, he was a full colonel, one of the few guys to go from private to colonel during the war. And he flew 20 missions. You know, he did not shy away. Actually, he had to more or less fight his way to get over into Europe because he was a trainer for over a year, and they didn't want to send him.
Right.
And, you know, he finally said, hey, boys, you know, I want to go and do my part. And he was already a pilot when he enlisted. You know, so he had quite a story and, you know, his personal hero, that sort of thing. So he was very well known, but he was very well respected as a leader and as a pilot, you know, and so it was a real treat to photograph his jacket and the others, too.
It's great that there's so many jackets that were saved.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and the artwork has been across the board from pretty crude to actually quite excellent. You know, sign painters were much more common in those days, and they were, you know, professional artists, if you will. And so they, you know, lent their skills to the jacket.
Well, you've also done other things with this, too. You're doing these photographs and stuff. You've got 16 original WASP pilots.
Yes, sir.
And also 16 Rosie the Riveters.
Right.
Those have got to be fascinating stories behind those, too.
Oh, they were. I was honored, actually. Last year, the WASP Museum in Sweetwater, Texas, licensed all those pictures, and they're now hanging in their museum. They're color. They're in color. They wanted color. And so that was quite a treat. And, you know, I think I first photographed them in 2009 here, actually starting here over in the Weeks Hangar. I was photographing, one of the aerobatic pilots, and I knew they were here, but I had no idea how to get a hold of them. And I mentioned that to her, and she said, let me make a call. One call, and an hour later, 6 of the 8 showed up.
So wow.
I photographed them, and I'm like, this is fun, this is cool. And they were such nice ladies, and such characters, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that's what started it. And so over the course of several years, I got to meet more of them and photograph them at WAI conventions and things like that in here. So, yeah, I felt they're in the book. You know, it's not a big section because when they were disbanded in 44, they were allowed to keep one item of clothing. And most of them turned in their jackets.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess they kept something more functional.
Yeah, a skirt or a blouse or what have you. So the WASP jackets are very rare. Now, they're just traditional A2s. They were not tailored for the women or anything. And Dawn Seymour, I was photographing her in 2017, I think, across the way. And I asked her, I said, do you have your jacket? And she said, yeah. I was shocked because they're rare as hen's teeth. And a friend of mine flew to New York. She was a commercial pilot, picked it up from the family, brought it to Atlanta, and I photographed it, and she took it back. And
wow.
She there was no artwork on it, but she had an original Fifanella patch.
Right.
Which I laid on the jacket and, you know, photographed it together. So the WASPs are in there, and, you know, I wish maybe one day I'll do a whole book on them. Who knows? But
yeah, there's tons of stories there, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they were very much unsung heroes back then.
Absolutely. And the Tuskegee Airmen are in there, too. I photographed 6 of them in a group portrait in Atlanta in 2017, I think. And I photographed General McGee twice, actually the last time last summer here at Oshkosh.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's been a real treat meeting these people, I got to tell you.
Okay, well, where can we buy the book?
Online at WWII, World War II, BomberBoys.com. We did the WWII in front because I didn't want the FBI knocking on my door on Sunday morning.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So that's important, the WWII, BomberBoys.com. And we're offering a discount here during AirVenture for people who are attending the show. Oshkosh22 is the discount code.
Okay.
And I say that again, Oshkosh22.
Are you signing and selling on the airfield somewhere?
Not well. It'll be out in October.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Yes,
this is pre-order.
Yeah, sir. This is pre-order, and you know, we've done all right with that so far. And you know, 390th has already bought 30 copies. You know.
All right. Looks like we're gonna have to check into that.
Definitely. Sounds like another great book.
Is it gonna show up wrapped in a little A2 jacket?
You know, we've got all kinds of ideas, to be honest with you.
Well, that's great. We've been speaking with Mr. John Slemp of the Bomber Boys, author of the Bomber Boys. The WWII Bomber Boys.
Correct.
Get it right.
Yes.
Get it right. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.